Once again, greetings and blessing to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we come to the last Sunday of our year, the topic that really God put on my heart for myself and for you, each one of you today, is the topic of love. Everything that was said from the beginning to the end, small, big, is all wrapped up in this beautiful four-letter word, love. Now, when it comes to love, what comes to our mind in our culture? When you come to love, 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 what comes to mind when it comes to this culture? Let's start to North American culture. You didn't know that you have an assignment this morning. You better have... Romantic. That's right. Okay, romantic love. Thank you, John. What else? Being together, brother love. Yeah. Okay, what else? Caring. Okay, caring. Thank you.
Family.
Family, yes. What about in Mexico, Pastor?
You hug each other.
You hug each other. Wonderful, wonderful. So you can see, yes, love, what you can see here is to take different aspects, all of the right. So in the New Testament, you find four ways that love is described. As one of said, so your brother, Philo, is the brother-in-law, the city of Philadelphia, the city of brother-in-law, Philo. And a philosophy, the root of philosophy is love, love for wisdom. Sophia is wisdom. Philo is love, philosophy. So you see, that's love. And then romantic love, eros. You see that movies a lot. But as someone says, the caring love. Well, and we can go in more depth. Brother and sister, yes, but at the end, the love that we'll be talking about that the Bible really take home is called agape. Agape love. Now, because most of this love that we see in our cultures are all conditional. You love me, I love you. You hate me, I hate you back. But this agape love, we're going to find that this is unconditional love. And then this love comes to all of us. Poor, rich, humble, big, small. It comes to all of us. But do all of us receive it? Do all of us experience it? That's the key. And today, my prayer is this. The way in this story, Virgin Mary received the love of God the Father and then responded to it and used it and changed her own life and changed the life of the world. In the same way, when you receive this love, that you have the same passion and the same positive reaction of Mary, so that this love will transform you and transform the world in which he has placed you, starting in your family. It's powerful. And if you have never experienced this love that we're going to learn about through Mary's life, my prayer is this, that the way Mary was visited by this love, without planning it, that love will come and visit you wherever you are, and that you will not miss the opportunity to welcome him in your life. And yes, brothers and sisters, what is biblical love? I'm sorry, going back to AI. The AI is everywhere, but it does give good things. That's what we're going to use. As I Google AI, what biblical love, this is what come out. Biblical love, often called agape. It's agape. It's not eros. It's not philo. Right? Agape is selfless. You see that? It's a selfless, sacrificial, and active commitment to the well-being of others. This is crucial. It's usually we are so focused on our own well-being. Our other, you know, love are so selfish. We're so focused on ourselves. This agape is focused on the well-being of others. Going beyond mere feeling. Usually our fellow, our errors, our whatever it is about my feeling. You realize in our culture, my feeling have been hurt. People are at each other's throat because you hurt my feeling. This love is beyond more feel, going be mere feeling, to become a choice of the will, modeled perfectly by Jesus Christ. Yes, it is defined by patience, kindness, lack of envy, humility, and enduring perseverance, reflecting God's own nature, and involve loving God and neighbor as the greatest command, even loving enemies. This is the love that God wants you to carry in your life. This is the love that God wants you to spread around you. It comes to all of us, but do all of us receive that love? And yes, brother and sister, you see, God himself is love. In John 4:8, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is agape. He is patient. He is here for your well-being. He's focused on your well-being. And it's hurt when people run away from this God. You know, God in itself, I always tell people, think about it this way. The air you and I, we breathe. Do you think that air needs you? That the air needs us? Good question. I mean, it looks stupid question. But think about it. The air we all breathe, do you think without us that air will exist? The fact that we die, the air is still here. This air does not need us. We are the one who need it. This God does not need us. We are the one who need God. And then when we turn our back on that God, we turn our back on this love. And this is why when people say, I'm an atheist, I'm this and that, this bunch of things. If you understand the depth and the height, the width of this love, your heart sinks because you know you have no clue what you're missing. This God is love. And yes, in 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, hear the nature of God, God's nature of agape love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongdoing. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Oh, you know our human love with... We rejoice in evil. What we call errors, we use it to take young women, prostitution, all that, and we call it love, destroying people's lives. There's no truth. It's all in the darkness. And yes, this love of agape is always protects. It always trusts. Always hope, always persevere. And now these three things remain, verse 13. Faith, hope, and love. But the greater of all these is love. This is why, brother and sister, your Christian life, your Christian ministry, the foundation of all of it is love. The process of it is love. The final product of it is love. Love is everything. Because it's about God. And the question is, have you experienced that love? Do you have this love in your life? Do you have this love in your ministry? Do you have this kind of love in your family? If not, let us pray that the way again Mary receives this love in her life, experiment it, and share it, will be your story and my story. And yes, brother and sister, you see, this love was promised to us long time ago. It was promised to us long time ago. Under the umbrella of blessing. This is where you realize this love is God's blessing on you. Hear the promise. Genesis 12:1-3. The Lord has said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. Hear the blessing. And I will bless you. One. And I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. Not only you're blessed, but you have to give it to others. That's why it becomes a blessing flowing. And yes, I will bless you. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you. And how does this happen? This blessing. Because it's for the well-being of others, that the blessing, this is the love, that blessing will fulfill when Mary receives the good news that you will conceive a child, not being married. And yet here we are, as she received that news and conceived Jesus in her womb, one day she paid visit to John the Baptist's mother called Elizabeth. And yes, at that time, in Luke chapter 1, 39 to 45, here is what happened during that visit. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth, two women. Right? When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed. That the Lord will fulfill his promises to her. You see, with promises. What was promised to Abraham? Bless. You found it here. It's amazing God that we serve. Nothing was done in chaos. It's all in order. What was promised? Promise. His promises of blessing. Came to Mary, she received it. Brothers and sisters, God long time ago has promised to bless you with his love. The love that you remember is agape love for your own well-being, to fulfill all the good things in your life, your salvation, your care, your all being. And yes, it's a promise that comes to you and to me through a baby called Jesus Christ. And Mary received that baby. And do you know how she reacted? Mary responded to God's love and blessing with gratitude. And that gratitude came through a song. Remember her reaction. And when you read the content of this song, it's breathtaking. And here it is. And Mary said, my soul glorify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. How do you react to God's love in your life? Think about that. Most of us, in this culture, in this world, we reacted, we responded with indifference. I don't care. Or we respond with greed. I need more. This love is not enough. Still running around for something else, in the end, you run and shake hands with the devil. Because this love that had come to save you, this love had come to be glory in your life, you have trashed it by greed. In the end, Satan is want to destroy your life, destroy your family, destroy your business, destroy your ministry. In the end, you go there. Please come back to how Mary reacted to her, to the love of God in her life. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. God has been mindful of the small, of the humble state of his servant. Mary was a small girl, a young girl. In my African culture, where I can identify myself to a little bit to the Jewish culture, in the culture in which Mary grew up, a young girl, when they are young, society does not consider them at all. They just look at them, yeah, we're just waiting for her to be ready for marriage. In my African culture, we start to give really dignity to a woman when they're married, have children, and they are used now as midwife to help other young women to give birth. Because in our culture, my brother John is here building healthcare in Mali. One of the reasons you start healthcare in Mali, you see that healthcare was so poor, right? Most of us, including myself, were born at home. When I was born, there's no midwife qualify on paper, license to come and take care of my mother. No. My father ran to another elder, to two other elder women from the church who had experience of giving birth to their own children. And then they came and helped my mother. At that level, when you meet any mother in the village, you respect her because you know she's the one who helped all of us to come in this world. But before that stage, we barely show respect to women. And that's sad. It shouldn't be like that. And this is why, if you're in that culture and the God of the universe come and show you respect, you will be overwhelmed. Who am I? While everybody's neglecting me in my culture, in my family, here in the God of the universe who have come and took me to from a humble state and say, I'm going to give you the biggest gift. God is ready to do the same thing for all of us. This is the truth. It does not matter how old you are. It does not matter how intellectual you are. This favor, this blessing comes to all of us. You know who that favor is? Jesus Christ. Her blessing was no diamond. It was no gold. That God has given him gold, her gold. No, it's Jesus, baby Jesus. And the reality is his brother and sister, that same Jesus is available to you and to me, ready to come in your heart, to be a baby in your heart and grow in maturity in your life. And this is where, you see, you and I can identify ourselves to Mary. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one, you see, the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Brothers and sisters, this mighty one is ready to do great things for you, provided you welcome this mighty one and his work in your life. Believe him. Believe him. I wish we had much time. That at the end of this service, we'll have time to open a microphone for all of us to come and share how, in a concrete way, each and all of you receive great things from this mighty one. I think at this point, as your pastor, you have heard me repeat so many times how God has been good to me personally. And because of those realities in my life, preaching, teaching, whatever I do with passion. Is it with perfection? No.
But believe me, when you receive God's love, there's nothing, you know, your personality will be deep, you know, can temper things a little bit. But there'll be a sincere joy, passion in your heart, talking about the mighty work of this mighty God in your life. And that's what happened to Mary. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thought. And yes, he has brought down rulers from their throne, but has lifted up the humble. You know, she keep going back to the humble because she knew she was nothing in her culture. If you are in this life thinking you are nothing, oh, you are in a good place. That's where Jesus wants to come in. And this is the good news of the gospel, that he comes to those things that are nothing. Right? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Here was the poor in spirit and the humble one. May God bless you with the poverty of spirituality, that you are nothing. And then, yes, Jesus come everything in your life. And yet he has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty. Those who think they have everything without Jesus Christ have nothing. And this is a reality. In our wallow, the thing, I have my bank account full, I have this big organization, I have the big businesses, there's no Jesus. When you die, you are empty. And this is why they are afraid of every small illness, because every small illness is a threat to their wealth. They'll be taken away from it. Yes, if you don't have Jesus Christ, and you're running around, making your life about eros, about sex. Every small illness is a threat to you. Because when you die, you're taken away from your beautiful woman. And other people go with them. But you know what? With Jesus Christ, as Paul said, death become gain. Because even in death, you are with your blessing in heaven. And yes, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and to his descendant forever, just as he had promised our ancestor. Do you remember we started with Genesis 12:3 in Abraham? Here it is. This word is fulfilled. And this is why, brothers and sisters, the blessing again is about Jesus Christ. That was promised to Abraham. Yes, it's a blessing. I know sometimes in the gospel of prosperity, we stretch it and make it a both fancy thing. And yes, they are all part of it. But the blessing God's talking about in Abraham, the blessing God is talking about here, is all about the person of Jesus Christ. When you have that God in your life, you have everything. And yes, Mary fulfilled her mission of God's love and God's blessing. As she finally spent 3 months with her cousin Elizabeth, 3 months later came back, Luke chapter 2:4-7, Mary, she gave birth to her first son, Jesus Christ. It was fulfilled. She did not abort Jesus Christ and say, oh, I'm so shameful in my culture, because a young girl should be married first before you can get a child. Yes, in my culture, although they don't show respect to young girl, but when that young girl gets pregnant without a husband, the first thing the family does is to kick her out. You are a shame on us. That's a sad culture that we live in Mali. Any young girl not married, having a child outside wedlock, you're kicked out of your house. Here, she could have, you remember, that was the story with Joseph. When Joseph heard that Mary was pregnant, she went silently, quietly to divorce Mary, to break the fiancée. But the angel appeared and said, Joseph, don't be afraid to take your wife. The baby she carries is not from a man, it's from the power
power of the Holy Spirit, and Joseph obeyed.
And yes, in that culture, Mary could have said, no, still people will be saying this is a... No.
She carried her mission.
Brother and sister, the mission of love and you and I we have in this culture, the world does not understand us. Sometimes it's not easy in your workplace to say you're a Christian. It's not easy that you say in your neighborhood that you belong to Jesus Christ, because it carries a certain stigma. But you know what? The way Mary carried on her mission, you and I, we have to carry this mission of love in a culture that does not understand Jesus Christ. And Mary did. She gave birth. And this is why, brothers and sisters, you see, God's love and blessing are for everyone. John 6:3-16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Whoever. It's not just Mary. The same promise to all of us came to Mary through Jesus Christ. Today you put your name here. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that when Nahum believed in him, Jean believed in him, John believed in him, Pastor Terry believed in him, put your name there, that you shall not perish but have eternal life. That's what it is. Because he loves you. The love of agape that he has for you. And yes, that love, you see, he did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? All things, whatever your daily bread, to meet your physical need. The fact is, yes, he created everything for us before he made us in the Garden of Eden through our father Adam and our mother Eve. God did not create Eve and Adam and all of a sudden remember, oh, they need air to breathe. No. He created air before he put them there to meet their need. He created fruit. He did not create them and all of a sudden, oh, what are they going to eat? Oh, sorry, go and wait for them. I'm going to create food for you later. No. He created the food first so that by the time you're there, everything is there. Therefore, we all have to remember the first place to start is to be with God. And all things graciously will be given to us. Choose Jesus first, and all these things will be given to you. And yes, brothers and sisters, you see, receive and appreciate God's love and blessing in Jesus in your life. You see, when he demonstrated his own love for us, that while you and I were sinners, he came to die for us. You need to appreciate that. Think about how wicked you were, how broken your life was. And then, you see, sometimes take a step back. If Jesus were not present in your life, what would your life look like today? Think about that. Take 1 minute and think about your life right now. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if Jesus were not in your life, where would you be? What would you be? And then for those who have never accepted the law, think about this way. If you have accepted Jesus Christ, where would be your life today? Would it be different? And the good news is, as long as you are alive today, he's available to change that life for you today. To say yes. Yes. That I want to grab your love while I'm a sinner to have your forgiveness. And yes, brother and sister, you see, that love, you respond by saying, you know what, I love God, love yourself, and love others. You see, Jesus replied, you love your God, the Lord your God, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. I love this. The response as you receive God's love, you know what, God, I love you back. Think about people who have genuinely show you love, not in the wrong way, but in the right way. Do you hate them? If you're a normal person,
You don't. You love them.
And this is why, you see, God's love had to be responded by our love back to him,
as Mary did.
And then, guess what?
The second thing is to love yourself. There are people who are so ashamed of themselves. The things are not good enough because they're comparing themselves so much to other people. Brothers and sisters, I always tell people, you see, there are almost, what, 9 billion people on this planet Earth? 9 billion of us, if I'm correct. Each one of them has unique fingerprint. No matter how you look down on yourself,
God in his grace, in his mercy. Yeah, he could have said, you know what, after creating 9-8 billion people, I'm so tired of creating them differently. The rest of you just go out the same way there. Just get fun. No, no, no. He said, take time. This one, I'm still going to make him different, her different. Give him a unique food fingerprint. Just that. Take time and think about that. How precious and special he has made you. And yet make you part of the family of human being. But he loves you so much that nobody has your fingerprint on this planet Earth. It makes you unique. For that, be thankful. And know that he values you. And then on top of that, when he sent his son to die for you, you sinner, that's the top of love you can ever expect. Because without Jesus Christ, there's no other God can do that for you. And this is why, brother and sister, when you think about how unique he has made you, and you think about how much he has forgiven you and has loved you through Jesus Christ, yes, love yourself. Not to be proud, but to be thankful. Sometimes our problem is when we love ourselves so much, we want to put ourselves above everybody. And that becomes pride. The love that God's given, giving us is to remember, like Mary, I'm a humble person. And God has shown me mercy. And that recognition of love is humility love. And yes, and that makes you to love your neighbor. Your neighbor starts with your family people, your immediate family people. Your wife, your children, your spouse, your neighbors. Sometimes we are so eager to show love to the foreigner there, to the enemy there, but our own loved one in the family are trash. Don't do that. And therefore, as a pastor, I always consider my own children and my wife as my first church. That's how I treat it. With 6 children, life is very, very busy. Very, very, very busy. Very, very busy. Running. Yesterday, for example, I spent 3 hours at the basketball court with my second son, knowing that I had to preach. And prior to that, 2 weeks ago, you know, we have a pretty big house. I had to clean all the washroom, knowing that I had to work a sermon. But I made a pledge to God. I'd rather clean my washroom for my family than to throw them there as well. I'm preparing sermon. No, no, no. My sermon always comes second after cleaning my washroom for my children. That's how I treated it. Even I come here and I give a small word with a preparation, I prefer that. Because I don't want to pretend here to be a great preacher here and go to my family, but the priority I should give to my first neighbor has been neglected. That's what, how I'm trying to do it. And by God's grace, he has been faithful in that. And therefore, my challenge to you and to me today, your neighbor don't go too far. Start with your family. And that training ground will help you to go to others to love them. Because without that, our love, our Christianity become empty words. And that's where sometimes people are turned off. You're talking about Christian vocabulary, but the one who are around you, they don't see it. They don't see it. They have to see in your mess, and they have to see in your effort to do great for God. And then they give God love and blessing to others. You see, dear children, let us not love with word or speech, but with action and in truth. I just gave you example of cleaning washroom. What are your concrete action of love that he can show. And the good news is this for us. I think someone, an author, wrote a book about the five languages of love, right? Who remember the five languages of love? Okay. Pastor, do you remember it? Okay. Well, what's the first language? Pastor. Speech? Yeah. Compliment, right? Giving. Yeah. Giving. John, you have remember another language?
Action.
Action.
Like giving.
Giving, flowers.
Something practical.
That's it. Touching.
Time.
We're hugging.
Time.
The whole point is this. I encourage you to go and read the Google the five languages of love. Different type of expressing the same love. We all have different personalities. Some are hugging, some I don't want. But some are just, I show my love by doing dishes. And I think mine is by doing the cleaning the washroom. I do that. But rarely, and my children have to, Papa, when was the last time you bought flower for your for mom? I don't remember. You see, but if she's expecting roses from me, oh boy, that takes a long time there. I because growing up in Mali, we don't have roses. So, see, there's no roses there. So I'm sorry, Kenan, you're already America from Timbuktu where everything is dry. There's no roses there. So therefore, my language has been shaped by action. So the whole point is this. Read that book and find what is your love language and focus on it. Now, from down to down, I will do my effort to go on a Valentine's Day and then grab some roses and come down. So use those rare moments to go out of your comfort zone. It's not because my language is this that I don't want to learn other languages. You speak Chinese, Cantonese. You make an effort to learn English. So the whole point is this. Yes, your specific language or law might be this, but make an effort to try to learn the four other languages, and it will be helpful. So this is a practical way I want you to apply the sermon today. Find practical way in action, not just in word. And yes, a different thing is, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. That's the church. Again, your next family neighbor is your local church, your mission organization, your workplace. Show love there. Because the way it is, all God has given us a specific place. Only God is omnipresent. God can be here and cannot be in Mali. But you know what? As much as I love Mali, I'm here now. I'm not in Mali. The idea I'm going to try to love all the Mali. No. I start where I am. Make things simple. Practical. You hear that? And then your love will come through opportunity. People who there need in your family, need in your local church, need in your neighborhood, need in your country, need everywhere are opportunity for you in action to show concrete love. And remember, the love is above commitment to the well-being of others. Have opportunity to support the well-being of people in your family, in your neighbor, and everywhere. And yes, in all this, do evangelism. At the end of the day, as followers of Jesus Christ, it's not just action. Guess what? We need to talk about the source of the all agape love, Jesus Christ. And this is why one of our mission expert in England, he passed away. His name was John Stott. He says this, the nations are not gathered in automatically. If God had promised to bless all the families of the earth, he had promised to do so through Abraham's seed. Now we all are Abraham's seed by faith. And the earth family will be blessed only if we go to them with the gospel. That is God's plain purpose. For us, go to the God with the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that he is the blessing, the agape love that God has sent to all the humble people, for all people. When you embrace that
Jesus Christ, as Mary did, as you do, he will transform your life. Bless you to love God, to love yourself, to love your neighbor, and even to love your enemies. And then to use you in concrete action, depending on the language of love God has given you, and learning other language on top of that, to show that you are committed to the well-being of other people. By doing so, brother and sister, we have fulfilled the mission God has given us, a follower of Jesus Christ. And therefore, you see, this prayer, before that, understand that Mother Teresa says this, that not all of us can do great things, but we can all do small things with great love. Not all of us can go and start a health center in Mali, or start a school, or start a church, or start a business. But we all can do your cleaning, washroom cleaning, with God's great love. You can bring a flower with big love. You can pray with big love. You can hug with big love. And yes, brothers and sisters, this agape love, it does not come naturally. It comes through the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus gave us. And therefore, we're going to end this sermon today with prayer, and we stand up and praise it together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your unfailing love that fills my heart. Help me to receive it fully and overflow with it to my family, friend, and even strangers. Make me a channel of your grace, showing patience, kindness, and forgiveness to others so see through me. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. Thank you.